So, welcome, you guys. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. I have been doing this work for over a decade now. I've written four books on the subject. All of them are available on Amazon, and I'll put my credentials here if you guys want to check it out. Please excuse me, my voice is a little thrashed from the fires and everything that's been happening in the air quality in LA. But I wanted to come and be here and do this group because I love hearing from you guys. I love getting your questions. I love hearing your updates. I'm going to give a brief introduction of this work, and then I am going to open it up for questions. So, think about what your questions are while you're listening. And when I give the introduction, what I'm really going to be explaining is the psychological and scientific principles behind this work. When we get into your questions, we will be talking more about the specific tools, which is really my specific work, right? I didn't invent the scholarship of yin and yang or feminine and masculine, but that is the undergirding of a lot of these tools. What makes this work unique is not the work it's based on, because like I said, that's existed. I don't know, yin and yang has existed for thousands of years probably. But what's unique about this work are the tools to execute on those principles. And that's where we really see a difference. This work is really a game changer for me, for a lot of my clients. You know, that's how I actually got into this work. I wasn't really interested in therapy after a while because you go, you talk, you get empathy, but your life doesn't ultimately change. And in this work, you're actually asked to be accountable. You're given things to do. You can focus on the things that you can control and more clearly see the things you can't control and let go of those. So that's what I really love about it. The tools I teach are tools from transactional analysis, which was created by Eric Byrne, from androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by my mentor, Pat Allen. And I too have created tools because, as I said, I've been doing this work for some time. I, in addition to this weekly meetup, I also teach this work in small groups periodically, and you can check that out under module packages if you want to go deeper. We go through my book. It's a really unique opportunity to marry theory with your life, with practice. With the things that are happening in your life. And we're going to do that tonight too. It's just tonight is more of an introduction. It's more about the community and learning from each other. But in when I do private sessions or when we do the module groups, we have a chance to go a little bit deeper. Okay, so what am I talking about? What's androgynous semantic realignment? What's transactional now? What are these things? When we talk about relationships, including the relationship that we have with ourselves. What we're talking about is balance. The most successful relationships are balanced between complementary energies, what's also known as yin and yang, feminine and masculine. This is part of the duality, right, that we have on this planet. And you may have noticed that things are organized in this way here, okay? All of us are both. All of us are both feminine and masculine. All of us have this right side of our brain that is more feeling, that is the yin side. It's the world of passive, patient, vulnerability. It is the world of creativity, imagination, sensuality, sexuality. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. Okay. And then all of us have that left brain, which is the region of linear thought, which is the more masculine or yang energy. That's competitive, conquering, controlling, doing, achieving, taking care of, giving. Most of us are in our masculine when we're at work, for example, because it's very much about putting your ideas forward and not very much about how you're feeling about things, right? So all of us have these two sides. There's a lot of misunderstanding about masculine and feminine. One is not better than the other. Oftentimes, gender does indicate the energy that you're going to inhabit, but it doesn't always. So, for example, yes, many women, I'd say like 75% of women probably fall into being predominantly feminine energy people, but there's still like 15 to 25% of women who are not. That's fine. That just means that you need to look for complementary energy when you're looking to be in a romantic relationship. Because when we have complementary energy, that sets us up for fewer power struggles. And you can have a power struggle for the masculine energy, which is the struggle for control and dominance, or you can have the struggle for the feminine energy, which is a struggle for guilt and sympathy, seduction. Okay, so when we have complementary energies, a lot of these struggles are diffused. And you don't have to do these tools all the time, but they really come into play during awkward situations like first dates, the beginnings of relationships, and conflicts. And if you want to live peacefully and you want to have a peaceful relationship, you have to get good at resolving conflict because conflict is a part of every relationship. Remember what I said at the beginning. This is a world based in duality here on planet Earth. So if you're going to have peace, that means you're going to have conflict. These things always come together. There's no victory without a shadow. There is no catastrophe without a silver lining. Okay. That's one of the really important things to understand about this work because I think a lot of times people think, oh, I'll get to a point where I won't have any more problems, where every day will be happy, or because I'll have my partner, or I'll have that job, or I'll have X amount of money. And it simply isn't like that. We have to expect duality as long as we are dwelling here on Earth. Okay. So it's important to understand which energy you want to inhabit in your romantic relationships. And if you're an alpha, you may have a very strong feminine side and a very strong masculine side, which means that your heart and head are often battling it out. So if that's the case, you're in the right spot because these tools will really help you and they really give you a rubric for decision making. Now, sometimes our authentic balance is thrown off by childhood trauma. And when we talk about problems in relationships, what we're often talking about is childhood trauma, and specifically unresolved childhood trauma. And that's, trauma with a big T or a small T. Most of us have had something in our childhood that has thrown us off balance and has caused us to be wounded in some way. The events that happen between the ages of 0 to 12 tend to have greater valence or impact on us simply because they occur during the critical windows of our development. That's Freud's work. Freud was right about that. But other philosophers, writers have also noted that the philosopher André Breton, the French surrealist, postulated childhood as the only reality. Patsy Highsmith, who wrote the Ripley books, also obsessed with childhood and childhood realities and how they manifest in adulthood. If you don't understand your childhood trauma, then you are going to be doomed to repeat it. And so that's why this work is also incredibly transformative and helpful because it helps you identify the patterns that don't serve you anymore. When we're children at the mercy of the people who own the refrigerator, we tend to be forced into a situation in which we have to sacrifice our authenticity in order to attach to them. And we develop coping mechanisms that we think are based on existential truths, but they're really not. They're really strategies of the moment. And unfortunately, when we give up our authenticity in order for people to like us as adults, that ends up, for example, that ends up being something that hurts us or works against us, not in our favor as adults. So it's one of those ironies of life that some of the strategies that we learn as children that may have saved us, when we take them into adulthood, they end up sabotaging us and preventing us from getting what we want. Again, we are doomed to repeat that which we don't understand. That's the repetition compulsion, which is also part of Freud's work and the psychologist Alice Miller, who did a lot of work with children. But a lot of, by the way, a lot of these books and people that I'm mentioning, you can find those resources either in the bibliography of my first book or also on my website. So check that out if you want to learn more. So that is also something that I help people with, is unwrapping those patterns, unraveling them. And then after we become aware of those, then understanding what the counteraction we can take against some of those parental injunctions. That's what they're called. Negative scripting, Malcolm Gladwell calls it an overstory. There's a bunch of different words for it. In transactional analysis, we call it scripting and episcripting, meaning a script is the personal narrative that you construct, and then the episcripting is the one that is the adapted message from the environment you're in. So everybody who lives in America has a certain script, and everybody who lives in China has a certain script, and women have a script, and men have a script, and on, any group you can think of. Okay, so that's basically my work. A lot, if you don't understand everything right now, don't worry about it. A lot of things sink in when we start talking about specific instances, when you keep coming back, when you do some of the things that I always assign homework. So when you do some of these things, you will experience it on a different level. When I learned this work, I didn't really know what it was about. I didn't really understand it at first. All I knew was that I saw an incredible transformation in a friend, and I wanted to do whatever she had done, because she, in like the space of just a few years, had like gotten married, started making a ton of money, great career. I mean, it was a very dramatic transformation. And that's what I love about this work, is I see results with this work that I've really never seen from any modality. Okay. I'm now going to open it up to questions. You can raise your hand, or you can put your question in the chat and I will unmute you. And it can be a question really about anything. My specialty is love, relationships, dating, but I also help people with family issues, issues of communication. This work is based on the quantum mechanics of language. I work with people a lot on specific languaging. See. No questions? Everybody's good? Just going to check. Okay, here we go. Good evening. So grateful to be here. Oh, okay. Okay, well, you guys can ask a general question, you guys can ask a specific question. Okay, Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and everyone here.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you. Welcome
welcome.
back. How can
Thank
I help
you.
you?
Okay, so my question is this. I was eating a little bit of dinner, so it's changing my voice. However, let me face the computer. So this is my question. You touched on childhood trauma, which really piqued my interest because I did not know that I was swimming in the aftermath of it until last year. I've been working diligently to heal these aspects and look at the shadow and just so many things. And it's just been such a rich period of self-discovery. I like what you were saying, epi-scripting, and I'm looking at stuff like that. Really powerful concepts. Now, you may recall me mentioning that I was in a relationship with a wonderful man, and he's
Yes.
really okay. So we're still together. We're still
Oh,
together.
good. Okay.
Yeah, and he just sent me something saying, "Sweetheart, let's do this on Saturday, some gathering, something like a party,
Very
where."
nice. So he plans things for you.
Yes, And
I
so
love
he's,
it.
yeah, and he also was getting me some those shoes for swimming and what have you, because he wants me to join him swimming again and what have you. So he's planning things for us to do together to enrich our relationship, which is nice. I appreciate that.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that. And what I'm noticing though, my mom is having more and more protracted health challenges, and she's got a unique personality. I'll just put it that way. It's been very difficult, and I feel kind of tethered to the situation. I mentioned to you once before that I live with a hidden disability, and my mom and my sister help me out financially. And so, were it not the case, I'm a brain injury survivor. So, were it not for that, I probably would have gone no contact or just moved away. My mom is barely getting out of her bed, barely leaving her room. And a lot of this is just things she's bringing on herself because she's not developing a stronger will. She's not getting up. She's not sick. She happens to have a situation, but her cardiac thoracic surgeon was just saying, Mrs. So and so, this has nothing to do with this. We took care of that, and you should be fine. I want you to walk, half an hour a day, yada yada yada. The bottom line is she's just not motivated because she's accustomed to me filling in the gaps, being the handmaiden, and being Cinderella. And
Right.
I put a boundary in place last year, and I've been standing on business with that. I've really been very boundaried, and my no's have been my no's, and my yeses have been my yeses, and I'm really clear. And so the challenge is when things are happening and she's like in her bed all day, and I'm like, Mom, what's going on? Because I'm about to go to my friend's house. My sweetheart is expecting me, and I don't go because I'm concerned about my mom. When I think about it, this has been an ongoing pattern for
Right.
so long.
Right. Right.
And it gets old. Can you
It
imagine a
does.
grown man saying, "Sweetheart, my mom"?
Right.
Oh my gosh, she gets on my nerves. And so, I'm wondering what say you on that matter? Because I said I refuse to have this BS dynamic adversely impact another relationship, and
Yes.
so what can we
Yeah.
do when we have these situations dealing with childhood trauma and we're still kind of connected to family and parents? And it's again different because as an adult child with special needs who didn't get my needs met and it really damaged my life, I am somewhat co-reliant on the support. So I can't just roll out. I'm just wondering
Does
how
she
you
hold it
feel.
over your head?
No, but other family does. While my sister is saying, "Well, no one asked you to be there in the first place," which it's just all like, it's a bad
I
situation.
mean,
It's
I'm hearing
gaslighting.
that you're saying that you can't afford not to be there, but can you afford to be there?
I'm
Because
thinking not.
you're paying such a high price if you're,
Exactly.
paying for your present by fo and focusing on your past. And this, you know, your situation isn't unique in the sense that this happens a lot with enmeshed, you know, especially mother and daughters, is that even if, like, for example, even if you were to get married, you know, she'd still be at it, you know, working against the relationship. And it's something that, you know, I've helped a lot of clients with. But a lot of times you do need to make that decision, is which is more important to me? Is it my present or is it my past? And it's tough with the scripting, right? Because the scripting, if you come, certain cultures especially, have scripting of that put family first, right? Before individuals. In America, we mostly go with the individual first. But still, in a lot of family systems, there can still be some of that putting family first at the sacrifice of the individual. You're somebody that needs support. But you can't really give anybody support when you're so dragged out and unhappy. You know what I'm saying? And I know that your mom wants you there, like at probably every day, all day.
She keeps saying, you can go back to your house. I can't go to my house. You know, that's a long story, but the point of the matter is, I'm trying to get back to the house, and it's just what is that word?
Subterfuge.
Thank you. I just heard it today, and it rang with such deep resonance. What is that word?
Subterfuge, is that what you're talking about?
Subterfuge, yeah, where they kind of create this fog, and it's just, can you
Right.
define that?
Okay, so there's a couple things. I mean, you know, this is something actually that happened in my life, and I don't know if you've picked up my first book, but in my first book, I talk about this, which is that at certain point, Dr. Pat told me, your, and I didn't realize this, and then when I saw it, then I couldn't unsee it, but it was your relationship with your mother is ruining your marriage. And once I saw that, I had to make a change because I wanted to pick my marriage. And I too, like you, felt that I needed my mom and I needed that support. You know, but you don't get everything, right? That's part of the duality. So you kind of you have to pick which is more important to you. I don't know if the financial support would end if you set more boundaries. What is your schedule right now going over there?
I live here. I live here.
Oh,
And
okay.
but
And
half of the week
so
I'm at my sweetheart's house though. Half of the week I'm there. So it's like Sunday through Thursday I'm at his house, and then the rest of the time I'm over here. And so
that's probably too much.
too much time over there.
With your mom.
Oh.
For you.
Well, it definitely is. Psychologically, emotionally, energetically, with my autonomic nervous system, you know, everything about me is saying, get out, leave. However, she's not functioning on her own. And I'm trying to get support for her and leave. I feel like I need,
But are you're not an only child, correct?
in these dynamics, I function as though I am. My sister continues to talk a good game. She and her husband and family live about 2 hours away. I'm the one who's here. My house is about not quite 10 minutes from my mom's house, my parents' house. And so the unmarried without children of the siblings, which I happen to be that person, got picked for, well, you can help mom because, you know, you've got the time, when I really didn't, but
Right.
I was guilted into coming back home.
Okay. Well, right. That's what it sounds like. And I just, you know, you're gonna only you can make that decision, but from what you're saying to me, it doesn't sound like this decision is in your best interest. So I'm just wondering what it's gonna take for you to put yourself first.
I
Have you
do put
ever put
myself
yourself
first.
first?
I do put myself first. It's a financial issue, and because of this subterfuging, which I'm looking forward to you defining what that is.
Yeah. Right. So something that people do, narcissists, but psychopaths really and sociopaths, is they try to make things confusing. Right. So you start talking about one thing and then they change the subject, or they lie, or they, tell a half truth, or they pretend that they don't understand, or they act confused. Okay. So that's what subterfuge is. It's something that's going on underneath the surface. There's a
Yeah.
book called People of the Lie by M. Scott Peck.
Oh.
He talks about really what the hallmarks of if you're trying to give a definition of evil in people. And I recommend that book. I recommend the book Cinderella and Her Sisters by the Olenovs, which also sounds like is operating in your
Yes,
dynamic.
definitely.
I do want to, get to other people also tonight, but I think that you've really got to consider what you're getting out of this situation and if it's worth it. And if it's not worth it, what you can do to begin to cherish your feelings. Now, if there's nothing you can do and it's a short-term thing, then maybe that will end up being the case. But still, maybe there are coping strategies. Maybe there are things that you can do. Maybe you can get your sister. Maybe you can get help. If you start brainstorming, you'll probably come up with more things. But because you feel guilty, it's kind
No,
of
I
keeping you
don't feel
trapped.
guilty. I don't feel guilty at all. It's a situation where they weaponize finances, and because of this dynamic, which is absolutely happening, we just can't seem to unmesh and get out and move on.
So they
And the
are
reason
threatening taking away the money.
my sister did when, during the holiday, because I didn't tell her what my boyfriend's name is. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Because I just don't need them in my business. My mom
Right.
is friends with my
Then
boyfriend,
I
and
would start tr really trying to figure out a way to extricate yourself.
that's what I'm doing. I'm working on that. I'm working on
Yeah.
that. And my sister just gave me a commitment of helping, but this is ongoing. I think I need legal support and maybe an advocate. I think that's what it is, because there's such a thing as coercive control, and what's at stake is the inheritance. And so, my mom likes to play games with that, keep pulling it out,
Yep,
changing
she's
information.
not the only one.
Oh my gosh, this is horrible. I don't understand these people.
Well, yeah, I
It's
mean,
terrible.
that's, it's just gonna bring you down. And I'm a little worried about your energy. So I think, coming up with a long-term strategy is good. And then for as long as you're still in that situation, also coming up with like a short-term strategy, just for when it gets too much, what are you going to do? You're going to walk out, you're going to go to the bluffs, you're going to look at the moon, whatever it is you're going to do, but just try to start cultivating some things that will put space in. And that, I know when I say cherish your feelings, it doesn't necessarily conjure something up.
It does. No,
It
no.
does. Okay,
I
good.
for sure cherish my feelings.
Okay.
I'm very authentically self-expressed and honor, my truth. I definitely do.
Okay, good. So yeah. So the more you can do that, things will start to shift. Nothing stays the same forever.
Oh, they've been shifting.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
They've
It sounds like,
been
your
shifting.
instincts are good. So follow those.
Thank you. Thank you. And what kind of person can assist me in coming up with this strategy, or like when you were talking about, short term and all of that, in terms of the exit strategy of especially being mindful of the impact on my relationships and just any other relationships in my life, because it's almost impossible to have a social life with this going on.
Right, right,
Having things pop up.
right. I get it.
So what kind of person can help me with that?
Well, I can help you, but probably not in this form. If you wanted
No,
something,
not here,
right?
like
Oh, okay.
coaching one-on-one.
Yeah. I can help you with that.
This is something you work with in terms
Yes,
of
absolutely.
really high conflict situations where.
I help people set boundaries and actualize themselves, and find that route. It's really driven by what you want. It's, and what your goals are.
Fantastic. Thank you. I really
You're
appreciate it. And you.
welcome. You're welcome. And thank
Excellent.
you for sharing. Okay. Okay. I think I see a lot of question in the chat. Okay. My biggest struggle with relationships is every man wants sex, whether it's in the beginning or a few weeks after meeting. I have built up anger, even trauma, due to so many failed relationships and so many partners. I cry a lot due to the feeling of abandonment from past relationships. I have a desire to be married. Any advice with this? Okay. Okay, so one of the things. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
One. Hi. So one of the things that I recommend, especially for somebody in your position, something that happens to women is we get bonded when we have intercourse with men. And so, it's not necessarily up to us. It's not a matter of choice, right? It's just oxytocin gets released in the brain when the penetration happens. That can be oral, anal, or vaginal. So I recommend not having intercourse until you get that commitment of longevity, consistency, and exclusivity. Until you have that relationship talk. And if he wants to get in, you say, I'm super flattered and I'm turned on too, but I know myself and I know I'm going to get feelings if we have intercourse. So I don't do that until I'm in a relationship with somebody.
So I've had relationships. My problem is I'll go into the relationship and let's say, like, I'm sure, right? But let's say we end up breaking up for some reason. But now I've already had sex with that person. I date somebody else and I have sex with them after we've made a commitment, right? So that's the problem. It's like the commitment may be there at times, and then the relationship still fails, and then there's still another person added on. Like, okay, now there's another guy.
Okay. Okay,
So
so let me
why
help you also then recognizing what some of the red flags might be. And see, we're
don't
lucky as women because our instincts are really, really powerful. A lot of times women can feel something before they even know it. And if you talk to women who've escaped like serial killers or rapists, they always say there was something off. The ones who got away are the ones who honored that feeling, right? And said, I've got to go to the bathroom and left out the back door or whatever it is. So part of protecting yourself and your own vulnerability, and you're right, every relationship requires vulnerability, is heeding some of your instincts. Now, I don't know if you heard everything I said in the beginning, but which is more important to you? Do you want your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? Everybody wants both, but in your relationships, which is more important?
I would say, well, you mean the thought of like, oh man, that's a hard one, isn't
Right. Yeah.
it?
And everybody wants
Hey,
both. And that's what's hard. And a lot of times there's not an understanding of the difference between thoughts and feelings. I feel like you're a jerk. That's not a feeling. That's a thought. So feelings are generally like one word. I feel sad. I feel happy. I feel alone. I feel loved. I feel insecure. I feel angry. I feel confident, right? Thoughts are often expressed as I feel like, and then people say a thought. So that's part of the understanding. Sometimes you need to try it out a little bit. Like I said before, usually women want their feelings cherished, but sometimes they want their thoughts respected. Especially as women get older, we get a little more masculine and men get a little more feminine because of hormone changes. So then that can affect it as well. Let's say, just for the purpose of this conversation, that you want your feelings cherished more. Okay.
Yes.
And then we could change it if it turns out that you want your thoughts respected, because it would just be flipped. Okay. So if you want your feelings cherished in the relationship, what you're going to be looking for, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be leading with that feminine side. You're going to be leading with feelings. So you're going to be leading with your feelings, and then you're going to be seeing if your partner or the guy you're interested in or flirting with or whatever gives a shit about your feelings. Okay. So, like, if for really, in very simple terms, I'm cold. Does he get up and close the door? Does he give you a your his jacket, or does he go, really? I'm fucking hot in here. Like, you're crazy, right? That's gaslighting. That's discounting your feelings. A lot of us have been used to having our feelings discounted by our parents in childhood. So when a partner does it, it feels familiar. And while that familiarity won't bring us joy, it does bring us a level of comfort simply because it's familiar. And that's the trap that a lot of us fall into as adults, is picking things because they're familiar, but they ultimately don't serve us and they don't bring us what we want. And so there has to, one of those things is conflating love and pain. A lot of us, if you're an abused child, you've learned that love and pain are intertwined. And so that takes a minute to unravel that belief system. So one of the things you're going to be looking at when you're dating is, does this guy cherish my feelings when I express them? Now, you're getting your feelings cherished, you're going to have to respect his thoughts. So you also want to make sure that you can respect this guy. Okay? Now, that's not to say, look, women are really smart. We're really capable. Lots of times we can, we figure things out just as fast, if not faster than men. But it doesn't serve us always to be talking, butting in, bossing around, and controlling things, right? Because then we get burnt out. So you can do all that at work, but if you want to be feminine in your relationships, it helps to take to let the man control, which is okay as long as he's cherishing your feelings. So hopefully you can respect that guy. Otherwise, you're not going to want him to control you, right? I'm not going to let my if I'm crossing the street with a man, I'm not going to let him pull me back from traffic if I don't even respect him, right? Don't respect his ideas, if I don't believe in his judgment. Okay. And so that's something often that I often work with. And sometimes couples will start out pretty well balanced, but then, like, after 10 years of marriage, the balance slips a little bit. I've been married over 20 years, so I have experience with all this stuff that I'm telling you. So those just those two things are going to help you. Seeing if he cherishes your feelings when you express them, and then seeing if is he respectable? Is he a man of his word? Do his deeds and his words line up? Right? Because it's nice to hear, sweet talk, but really the proof is in the pudding, is in the action, right? The proof is in the action. What are his actions that he's taking? Does he make and keep commitments with you? Also, very important. I don't care what it is. If he says, I'll call you at 5 and he doesn't call you, even if it wasn't a big deal, he said he'd call you at 5, right? So, these are things that, like, a lot of times we will bump on, but we'll convince ourselves, we'll discount ourselves, or we'll let the guy discount our thoughts or feelings about it by just, oh, I was busy. What do you want? I love you, or whatever it is. And so looking at some of these things, like, as clearly as you possibly can, and again, I help people a lot with that, identifying people's actions and are they living up to their actions and what are their choices and what do these choices mean? And so a lot of times when you start learning this work, people will think, like, oh my God. Like, it really does give you an edge. Some people, can you predict the future? Like, how did you know? Look at those things and let me know how it goes. I think that will help you just as a starting point. And then, we can never completely get rid of vulnerability, but those things really mitigate it. And you might find that you know more than you think you know about the person. You do understand what I'm saying? Okay. Good. Well, let me know
Thank
how
you.
it goes. You're welcome.
And one question off of it, just
Yes.
one. And you might have already said this.
Okay.
If let's say he does all the things like he's
respects my feel like if I say, oh, like I'm cold or oh, he calls and all these things. But let's say I say, oh, no intimacy like sex, but he still wants to or pursues it. Does that mean exactly that he doesn't care or like does that mean
Well, I
like
mean,
that's just a struggle? He would struggle.
all men are gonna go for sex they know they don't deserve, right? I mean, most men are gonna do that. You know, it depends on, like, if you say no, does he hear it or not? Does he keep pushing past it? Because it can get out of control. You obviously want him to be attracted to you, and you can still do things, right? You still do petting and making out and cuddling and all that stuff. Just hold off on the penetration till you have that commitment, until you're more confident that he's a respectable guy. You know, but you can still do other things. Now, if he keeps pressuring and you feel scared, then yeah, that's a bad sign. You know.
All of your tips were really helpful, and I'm gonna look out for certain things. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank
good.
you. I
You're
appreciate you.
welcome. You are so welcome. Those were really good questions too. Okay. I see some things in the chat here. Okay. Kyle, my big problem is knowing how and when to approach people, more specifically women. It never feels like an appropriate time. There always seems to be a reason I shouldn't. I want a sign that I can approach and introduce myself. I won't be rejected, at least not out of hand. I think a reason for this, I've lived at home a long time. I didn't go to college, don't have much of a social life after high school, so I didn't develop those social skills. Okay. Okay, good question. Okay, so Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Yes.
Do you know if you want your thoughts respected or your feelings cherished? Which do you want more? Are you more in the yang, the masculine energy, or more in the yin, the feminine energy?
I don't really understand the question, I don't think.
Okay, which is more important to you in a relationship? Do you want your thoughts respected? Or do you want your feelings cherished? If you had to pick one.
Anyone?
I mean, everybody wants both. And as I said earlier, most of the time it does follow along gender lines that you, because you're a man, you would be in the masculine energy. But like I said, 15 to 25% of the time it flips. So I just want to make sure with you, if you're not sure, I'll do what I did with Danielle and I'll just do it for the masculine because then you'll know. And if you want to flip it, you can.
I don't think I know.
Okay. So let's say you want the masculine, which is thoughts respected. And like I said, you can experiment with it. I've even had clients who go on one date, they get their thoughts respected, go on another date, they get their feelings cherished, they see which they like more. Let's say, just for the purposes of your question, that you want thoughts respected. Okay, so if you're in the masculine, you're right to assume that you're the one making the approach, okay? So what you're going to do, I want you to be flirting 5 days a week. This is called the five flirts. It's a strategy called the five flirts. Okay, four of those flirts are going to be in the course of your day. You're walking around, you're going to the store, you're walking your dog, you're going to play golf, whatever it is. If you see someone that catches your eye, someone that you think you might be interested in, you give 5 seconds of eye contact and a smile at the same time. If that is reciprocated in a substantive way, not just like quick look, smile, look away, but if she looks back at you for around 5 seconds and smiles, that's your signal that you can approach. Okay.
Okay.
One day, so you can do that 4 days a week. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere where you like the look of the women there, whether it's a hotel bar, whether it's the Starbucks next to a yoga class, wherever you decide to go, dog park, plant yourself, go alone, 45 minutes to an hour, or, you know, bring your dog if it's the dog park. And that way, when you see
Like my
someone, they can actually come join you and sit down with you. you know, and you can make you can initiate some kind of conversation, and you don't need to, once you get the eye contact and smile, you don't need to reinvent the wheel with the conversation, you know, just say something obvious is fine. You know, nice sweater, you know, for example, or really, you know, I love the coffee here, or whatever it is, you know, you don't go crazy. If you get the smile and the eye contact, that means that she's interested. Okay.
Okay.
Now, if you were to go into the feminine energy, you would be the one, you'd still do the eye contact and smile, but you would be waiting for somebody to approach you. Okay. And then when you do get a conversation going with a woman, you're going to be in this modality with you as the masculine energy. You're going to be leading with your thoughts and you're going to be inquiring about her feelings. Now, you don't always have to do this, but it really helps in awkward situations and conflicts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I will say that sometimes, which I know it's not gonna happen because I'm a man, but sometimes I wish that I could be approached, that it would take kind of some of the risk out of it for me, right?
Of
Some of the
course.
vulnerability out of it
Of
for me.
course.
Like,
Yes.
kind of would like that, but at the same time, it's like I know that's just not how I know women don't approach. That's just
No,
not how it works.
sometimes they do. But those women are going to be more aggressive. They're going to be more dominant and they're going to want to control you. Okay.
Okay.
So go for it. Check it out. I have a client right now. He is a guy. He's trying to be more masculine, but he never wants to take that risk that you're talking about. He never wants to put himself out there. So he's a good-looking guy. He gets approached, and then he hates it because he doesn't like those kind of aggressive women. He wants to have a feminine woman that where he's the control and she's the manipulation. It's okay to manipulate a man if you respect him. It's okay to control a woman if you cherish her. So that's what I'm saying. Understanding these dynamics, look, I don't like it either sometimes. I want to get respected and cherished same time too, but that's an act of narcissism. So when you're in a conflict or an awkward situation, if I'm getting cherished and respected, then my partner is a zero and I'm a 10. And that is a codependent relationship. Okay. So that's why we do it this way. That's why we have these compatible energies. That's why that's more successful, is because it takes that competition out of it. Codependent is a kind of relationship, and some people like that. That's not a relationship that I teach. But yeah, I understand that. Just you can do that. Just know that there's a prize and a price tag for everything. So the price tag for not being the one to initiate is you're giving up control. Do you understand? Okay. Okay, well, try it out and let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for sharing, Kyle. Okay, let's see more of these questions here. Regarding the sex you talked about, hold on to the penetration, but other things can do. What if he didn't ask for penetrations but wants oral or a hand job? Okay. Hand job, okay, no oral. That counts. I know. But that counts as penetration. Okay, next question. Shy to talk and make friends with, okay. Talk with people and make friends. Yes. Okay, so you're wanting to talk with people and make friends. So Meetup is actually a really good place for that. A lot of people in this group are in other groups as well, and they have made friends that way. People have also been making friends on apps. Another good way is doing activities. If you live in the LA area right now, I mean, people need help, and there's a ton of volunteer opportunities you can do. And then, you know, when you're in those situations and you get a conversation going and, you know, you think you're hitting it off, don't be afraid to be the dork and just say, hey, you know, can I have your email or your phone number? Let you wanna, would you want to go get coffee sometime, you know? Or And just see, see if you can get something going. Understand that rejection is part of the game. Not everybody's going to say yes, and not everybody's going to be able to come through. Doesn't mean they don't like you, but maybe they're not able to, or they're busy, or it's bad timing, or it could be any number of problems. You're just not aligned. So as much as you cannot take it personally and just kind of be logical about it. Oh, this was fun. You want to hang out again? Okay, no, yes, whatever, and just kind of keep persisting with it. You'll meet people. Even just going to the same cafe once a day or once a week. Sometimes I have a number of clients right now who are working from home, and so they're not in that same, schedule of going out and meeting someone. So if you are somebody who's working from home, please make sure to go out at least once a day. And it really helps to have like a place that you go every day, either for a coffee or for lunch, just so that you have that like built-in socializing time. One thing we realized during COVID is that we really do need each other, and we need even the most casual of interactions with one another. And so even that, hey, how you doing, to the person with at the register, those are small things that help us feel connected. No man re or woman is an island. So doing that is also good. Okay. Does that answer your question, Kartal? No? Yes.
Yeah, actually, I'm saying sometimes I feel, shy or scared to go and approach the person. Sometimes I like some people, I want an experience or something like that, but a lot of fear or the scared inside me to approach them. But I'm selectively very good with the certain friends, but with the strangers or something, it's like, I won't be that easy. I'm
Right.
just
Yeah,
want
it's
to
not gonna,
explore
I
myself.
mean,
I just want to come out from that.
right. Well, yeah, I mean, you're gonna look, discomfort's part of the game, right? Again, that's that duality. That's the price tag for trying to meet someone new. You're gonna be uncomfortable, but that's okay. You can still do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand it's gonna be discomfort, it's gonna be uncomfortable, but sometimes there's just moments we just need to push through, or just, we need to do the right thing anyways, regardless, right? Okay. So yeah, so try it and let me know how it goes. Try some of those things, let me know what works. You're kind of going in and out. Okay, wait. I feel like there was one more question. Maybe not. Okay. Anybody else have a quick question or comment? I put my credentials in the chat again so that you guys can find more resources. I'm usually here every Thursday night, but you can also check out my website. There's stuff there. I work with men, I work with women, I work with teenagers. I work with, oh, okay. Danielle, you have a quick question? Danielle? I'm not hearing you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I
That's
have
okay.
another really like super weird question. I know this is
Okay.
gonna be a quick one. Okay, so I want to be approached by men, like decent guys, right? But I have to depend on dating apps because I'm 42, but I look like I'm 20. And I have a 20-year-old, but everybody thinks we're dating. But now he's off at college. I feel like men still don't like approach me in person because I look extremely young. So you know how you were saying like if a female approaches a guy, she may come off aggressive or like something like that?
Yes.
How can I like start approaching men that I'm interested in knowing my age?
Right.
I'm like, hey, not to be awkward, but I am 42, you know? How do
So,
I
of
do this?
course,
Because I'm like,
you're blessed. Congratulations.
thank you.
But yeah, okay, so the eye contact and smile is, again, that's the signal for them to approach, right? If they're still not approaching, there's one little tweak you can do, which is you can ask for help, okay?
Yes.
So if there's a guy around, you get trying to kind of like eye contact, smile, he's not looking, whatever, he's busy doing his thing, you might ask him, "Excuse me, can you help me open this door? It's just really heavy for me and I need, whatever it is."
Yeah.
"Excuse me, I can you help me carry a box to my car?"
That's so cool.
I even
And then
had a
they come
client
in.
who kept seeing this guy every day at Whole Foods and they were exchanging glances, but he wasn't approaching, wasn't approaching. Finally, we decided you're going to go out to the parking lot and right by his car, you're going to fall. And it
Oh, no.
worked.
Oh, my God. That's so awesome. I love these ideas that you give. I'm excited now. Like, I just never really knew how to do it because I'm obnoxious all the time. Like, I wake up, you would think I had 8 cups of coffee, and I'd be like, "Hey, my name's Danielle. I'm 42. How are you?" Like, I don't want to be like obnoxious how I normally am, but I want to just like do it in like a nice, cool way where it's not weird because I'm a weird person. Like, I
Everybody's
like what you're
weird.
saying, like,
Everybody.
ask for help.
Yeah, ask for help. I mean, and the, you make sure you don't hurt yourself, of course.
Right,
But
right,
yeah,
right, right.
that totally worked. They ended up going to coffee. They ended up going like to coffee pretty regularly and started dating after that. So it
Above that.
definitely did work. So yeah, so that's your kind of like your little caveat that you can use.
Okay, thank you. Thank
You're
you.
so welcome. I look forward to hearing your updates. I love to hear you guys' updates. I think most of you guys know that. Okay, last quick question, Allie.
Yay.
Bye.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you so much. Okay, quick question. I told you about my sweetheart who is wanting me to join him. He used to train me in swimming. I mean, we do a number of activities together. And so my bathing suit's gotten all stretched out because of the chlorine. Not my good ones for the beach or like, vacay
Right.
ones for like the pool, indoor pool. And so I told you about the shoes. He's getting like the goggles, the bathing suit, the swim shoes, and like the swim cap. All right. So the shoes that he was looking at, he's like, "Hey, what do you think about these? What size do you need so I can go and order them?" He didn't ask me, "Well, do you like these?" So what I decided to do was lean into my feminine energy and allow him to just take control. But I did say, "Do you mind if I select my own? I'm not really feeling those." And so he said, "Well, I want you to like them." So is that taking over a gesture to present a gift? I'm not sure how to look at that. Like, with the, should I just let him make the decisions on his own and tell him the size because he's wanting to surprise me? But I'm particular. So how
Yeah,
do you
that's a
see
tough
that?
one. Yeah, that's a tough one. These are really tough ones because, in general, it's better not to ask for more, better, or different love,
Right.
right? And to let him do it and pick something because otherwise he'll get discouraged from doing it in the future.
Right, that's
You
what I
know, you shut him down one
thought.
time, two times, too many, and it's like, so let's just see what he gets. Okay. And try to like it. Okay. Try to wear it and try it out. If you don't like it, then you can make an appointment to talk to him about it at another time. But if you can, in the moment, stick with expressing gratitude, right? Then if you do need to adjust it later, you can make it, "Hey, John," or whatever his name is, "I want to talk to you about something. It's kind of awkward. It's about the bathing suit. Is now a convenient time? If not, now when?" Use the rubric from my book for the stroke and stand.
What did you last say? I didn't hear that.
Use
Something
There's
stroke.
a tool in my book called the stroke and stand. And it's
Stroke and
basically what
stand.
it means is you make the appointment first to talk about it because we never barrel into our partner with a bunch of criticisms, right?
Sure.
Or complaints. You need to make an appointment to bitch, moan, complain, question, or criticize. So make the appointment, hopefully today, when it's convenient. Give them the general subject. When you start with respect. Praise him. Wow, it really made me feel, lead with your feelings, feel so good that you did that for me, that you bought that bathing, that you took care of me like that. That made me feel really, really good. And just let him sit in that for a minute, right? And say, but I just want to tell you that bathing suit's going up my ass and I can't wear it. or whatever. What do you think? Can we exchange it? Or I got to get a new one or whatever it is. Okay.
So savvy, Chloe.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay,
Yes.
good. I look forward to hearing how that one goes.
I
That's a
know.
tricky one.
I know. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my questions.
You are welcome. And thanks everybody who showed up tonight. You can get a recording of this on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, also on YouTube. I put my credentials in so you guys can reach out to me if you want to set up a private or sign up for one of the modules. Otherwise, I will talk to you soon and I will be here next week. Have a good night.